believe that. We hear Jesus say, "Behold, I make all things new," in our text this morning. Our spirits will feel a little lighter. Our eyes gleam a little brighter. The promise of something new gives us hope, right? There's hope. In a world that says there's no hope, we have hope. We have hope. Saturday coming up, we will celebrate a new beginning of a new year. Hard to believe it's going to be that close, huh? But yes, by grace we'll have made it to 2022. I can tell you honestly, none of us here knows that we're going to make it to 2022. But by grace we'll make it to 2022. We can say goodbye to 2021 and hello to 2022 by focusing on one verse, Revelation 21:5. He says, "Behold." Now that's a Bible word if I've ever heard one, right? Behold. We don't just say, "Behold, it's Monday," right? When somebody says, "Behold," it's something of importance there. It means we're to look at it. We're to look at it, but it means something truly awesome and amazing. Behold. When somebody says, "Behold," we've got to pay attention. When God says, "Behold," you better pay attention. Open your eyes. He says, I. So who's speaking here? When he says, "I," the beginning of the verse says, "And he that sat upon the throne." When somebody is sitting on a throne, that person is in charge. But this isn't just any throne. This is the throne. He rules and he reigns. The I here is not just any I. This is I, the great I am. Verse 6 says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus. Jesus is the one speaking here. Jesus is and always has been and always will be the sovereign king. That's what he is. The sovereign king of all creation. The only question up for debate is whether or not he is the king on the throne of your heart. Then he says, I make. Only God the Creator can make things, right? People go, "Well, no, I make things." You make things out of things that God made, right? I mean, we got some people that do some amazing stuff, and so I don't step on anybody's toes, I'm not going to mention anybody, but there's people in here that I've seen some of the work that they've done with their hands. Thank God he has given them the ability to do those things. But they make things out of stuff that God has made. So God is the one that says, "I make." The maker of heaven and earth says, "I make." Then he goes on and says, "All things." All things. I like when the Bible says all because it leaves nothing out, right? It's all encompassing. There's nothing that stands outside that circle. Everything is included. All things. So we got Jesus and we got all things. And then he says, "New." New. That is the word of hope for a new year. New means unspoiled, full of promise. And Revelation 21 lists some of the things that Jesus is going to make new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1 tells us. There's going to be a brand new heaven and a new earth without a touch of pollution. In fact, I mentioned, I believe it was Thursday night, if my mind's still with me, about a preacher, pastor, that said there's going to be different levels of people in heaven and there's going to be street sweepers and there's going to be all that. What are you sweeping up? There's going to be no pollution. There's going to be no dust. There's going to be, aren't you guys going to be thrilled? There's going to be no auric. There's going to be no feather duster things. There's going to be no Swiffers. There's going to be no ammonia and toilet bowl cleaner. There's not going to be any of that stuff. Everything's going to be new and unpolluted. What a blessing. There won't be any decay or decline over time because, by the way, there will be no time. Yeah, if you got one of those Rolexes, it's not going with you. You won't need it. If you got a Timex, you won't need that either. It's not going with you. There's no time. Be a place without tears and without sorrow and without pain. Yeah. Be a place without any death. Some of us have had to say goodbye to loved ones in 2021. Some from COVID, some from death of cancer or whatever, heart disease, you name it. But there won't be that anymore. There won't be accidents. There won't be old age that we die from. There won't be any of that ever again. It tells us there will be a new Jerusalem. Yeah. I've been told, I've never been to Israel. I've had several try to entice me. Dr. Reichman, every year he says, you should go on our tour of Israel. And then he shows me the price. And after I grab my heart, say, I'm going home anyway, I say, that's an awful lot of money. He says, but it's amazing. And he talks about how nice it is and how it's so hard to explain the feeling of being in that old city. He says, knowing that you could be walking on some of the same stones that Jesus himself walked on, that you could be there, and that you could sense God's presence in that place. And I guess it's just amazing. I've not been there. I don't know. Mrs. P's been there. She's shaking her head, yes. She's been there. But at the same time, there's a sense of brokenness and lostness and division because there's different religious factions amongst them there. But the new Jerusalem will not have any of that. It's going to be scrubbed as clean as a shining bright, just like a bride on her wedding day. Beautiful. And here the promise from God's word, the dwelling place of God will be with man. This will be his people, and God himself will dwell with them as their God. Folks, there's more. There's more. Twice, God's word says, we will get a new name. In Revelation 2:17, you turn over there, it's just a few pages, it's not that far. Revelation 2:17, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And turn to chapter 3 and verse 12. Says, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. The new name. In the Bible, a person's name is often stands for his character. And a new name meant new character. Simon got a new name, Peter. Saul got a new name, Paul. A bride gets a new name when she gets married and she takes her husband's last name. I say that, but in this day and age, there's many that are getting married that are not taking the husband's new name, or they're hyphenating their name and the husband's name. They're doing all kinds of things, but it used to be the old way of doing things, the wife took the husband's last name. And guess what? If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are the bride of Christ. We'll also sing a new song. A new song. Those gathered before the throne will sing a new song. In Revelation chapter 5, you can turn over there too because we're close. Starting in verse 9 and reading through 10. Verse 9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." A new name. It will be a song we sing with those of every tongue and tribe and people. And it will be a song that has never been sung before. And we actually already know the lyrics because he's given them to us in the last two verses I just read. But it's never going to get old. It's never going to get old. We're not going to get tired of hearing it, and we're not going to get tired of singing it. Isn't that going to be great? We're not going to hear that one again. We sing that one all the time. When we get there, it's going to be, oh, hey, we get to sing a new song again. And it's the same one that we keep singing over and over and over, and it's never going to grow old. So at the threshold of a new year, let's praise Jesus as we hear these encouraging words which he speaks from his throne. O Lord, we rejoice at what you make new. I make all things new. Man, aren't you looking forward to that? But as we think about Jesus' promise to make all things new, I have to make you understand one thing about that promise. It's only for those who have been made new personally. It's for those who have accepted Christ as Savior. All creation will be transformed, but only those who have been transformed by Christ will experience it. This morning I want to look at two more things that the Bible says that are made new in Christ. First, we have a new covenant. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he held up the cup and said, "This is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So what did he mean by that? Understand that before Jesus came, we were all under the old covenant, which God established with Adam in the Garden of Eden. The old covenant basically said this: if you will keep my commandments, you will live, and all the generations after you will live. But if you eat of the tree which I have forbidden, you will surely die. Adam broke the covenant. All humans have been separated from God ever since. In 1 Corinthians 5:22a, the first part of that, it says, "For as in Adam all die." It'd be really sad if that was the end of that verse, right? It'd be really sad if that's all we had, right? "For as in Adam all die," period. Whoops, God didn't put a period there. The rest of that verse says, "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Praise the Lord for the rest of the verse, right? You wonder why some people only read part of a verse. And I'm guilty of it. I use parts of verses sometimes. But you wonder what happens when they leave out the rest of the verse when it's got such great information in it. It's good stuff. In his wondrous love, our Lord Jesus put us under a new covenant. A new covenant. A covenant which was sealed by his own blood. In the old covenant, we had to keep the law perfectly. Nobody could do that. Except one. And I have to tell you, it's not his one and only son, it's his only begotten son. Grates on my every nerve. And I got a text the other day saying, thank God that he sent his one and only son. I said, somebody's in the wrong perversion. They need to get in the right word. His one and only son gives us a problem. His only begotten son, praise the Lord, it changes everything. But thank God, in his own blood, he gave us a new covenant. Thank God that he sent his only begotten son who could keep the law so we don't have to. He's the grantor of salvation because he fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. People will say that. He came and did away with the law. No, he fulfilled the law for you and I. And all of mankind, by the way. We're not under the covenant of do this and live, but under the new covenant, which says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. What the law could not do, grace accomplished. Thank God for grace. We can never forget that before Jesus renews all creation, he first makes of us a new creation. Before the old passes away, new heaven and earth, the old passes away in our personal lives as well. When you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, right? Those old things are gone. Well, till we go back and pick them up again, right? We have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to come to an altar and we pray, right? And we leave our burdens at the altar of God, whether it's this one or at home or beside a bed in the pew, whatever. But we do that, and then what do? Before we get up, we pick those burdens back up. We go back and we pick up our old things. We do the same thing. We need to break that habit. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a blessing it is that Jesus has made all things new. Glad I don't have to stand here today and say, in 2022, if you do this and this and this and this and this and on and on and on through the list, you've arrived to heaven. We all know what happens when we make New Year's resolutions, right? We all try hard. Maybe we've decided we're going to lose weight. Maybe we're going to exercise. Maybe we're going to eat healthy, watch less TV, or limit our social media. Whatever it is, we commit to reading our Bible maybe 15 minutes a day. Maybe we commit to praying for 15 minutes a day. Maybe we commit to whatever. And maybe it works for the first day. Maybe even the first week. I'll give some even maybe the first month. You might even make it to April, tax day, right? And then it's all downhill from there. We have a tendency to make resolutions and then we don't keep them. And we fail at keeping our resolutions because we try to do them in our own strength instead of relying on Him. We can't force ourselves to change our behavior. It doesn't work. We give in. But when we are crucified with Christ, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives within us. From the moment we trust Christ, we begin a new life in Him. A life that we live in the flesh is no longer according to the lusts of the world, but we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Paul describes this in Galatians. as being crucified with Christ. We have a new desire to please God. We have a new desire, new hope in us. We have new peace, new joy, and new love for others. When Christ comes into a life, not only does he make you a new creation, but he makes all creation new to you. The advice that you used to get that sounded so wise and all doesn't sound so wise anymore. In fact, it sounds foolish. What we once thought would bring us happiness, we now take no interest in at all. The world is crucified to me, Paul said. What a transformation grace makes in all things. In our new heart, there is a new heaven and a new earth. We are stunned at what brings us joy now compared to what used to. We are ashamed of our hates and our prejudices. What a different Bible we have now. People are shocked and stunned that I would even say that, right? It's the same words, just has a different meaning to us. We read them differently. What a different place church seems to be. We love to be found within the walls of the church building. We feel delighted to join in the praises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we've tasted of the grace of God and know that the Lord has done great things for us, can we not get a little excited about it? Amazing. They score a touchdown and everybody comes flying out of their seat and they eat. Screaming at the top of their lungs, right? I got news for you. The touchdown, even if it's the game-winning touchdown, does not compare to salvation in Jesus Christ. It's not even a close second. And yet, why can't we get excited about it? Why can we not lift up our voices in praise to our Savior? According to Revelation 5, one day we will. One day we will. He will put that new song into our mouths, and we must sing it. We can't help but sing it. The mountains and the hills break forth before us into singing, and we cannot keep silent. Praise the Lord. Let's be people of praise in 2022. Let's compete with the angels. Let's compete with them to see who can outdo praising God in 2022. How about if we win? Because we have received grace and forgiveness, they have not. God gave man a living soul. Jesus came to save mankind, not the angels, mankind. We have something to rejoice about. We have something to sing praises about. Let's compete with the angels, and let's win. He that is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Our future is glorious, so let's not let our worship be gloomy. We need to have some glory and some praise. Maybe a hallelujah and an amen every once in a while. So my prayer for this church in 2022 is that week in and week out, Sunday after Sunday, there will be men and women that are drawn here who are lost and in their sins. I pray they hear the gospel and that they'll see changed lives of the people sitting next to them. And they will be aware of how lost they are. And they will know then a new birth is possible, even if they feel far from God right now. There's enough light in their soul to know that they are in darkness, and they will have to say to themselves, I want what these people have. I want what they have. I hear how these people of God cry hallelujah at what Christ has done for them. Can he do the same for me? Now listen, he that is seated on the throne says to you, however lonely, discouraged, disbelieving, disappointed, rebellious, sinful, angry, hurting, drunk, addicted, or messed up you are, he says, behold, I make all things new. There's nothing so old that God cannot make it new. Nothing so fixed and habitual that he cannot change it. Let every thief know that the dying thief entered heaven by faith in Jesus. Let everyone guilty of sexual sin know that Jesus forgave a woman caught in adultery. Let everyone who ever denied Jesus know that Jesus forgave Peter. Let every legalistic, self-righteous, vengeful hypocrite know that Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus and gave him a new name. The Lord can work a radical change in you and in me. He that is seated on the throne can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And he says, behold, I make all things new. You've grown tired and weary and need revival. I want to remind you of verse 6, verse 21. It says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We all get sleepy in our walk with God. We get tired. Our faith loses its freshness. We all go through those times. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be different. What God started with us at the beginning, he is the Alpha. He will sustain to the end, the Omega, by renewing us within the fountain of living water. We just need to go to Christ again, just as we did at the very first. I think that's why Jesus told John in verse 5, write the words down, because they are true and faithful. Write these words down. When we spend time in God's Word, the true and faithful words of him who is seated on the throne, then God gives us the fountain of the water of life. One more group of people I want to mention this morning. Those who are praying for a lost friend or family member. The Lord who makes all things new hears our prayers. Yeah. Some of you are here with unbelieving brothers or sisters, or husbands or wives or sons or daughters or co-workers. I pray in 2022 you believe that God desires to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to the one who is seated on the throne. Charles Spurgeon told one of his church members this. His brother had recently come to Christ. Spurgeon said to him, I suppose you were surprised to see him converted. He said, I should have been very much surprised if he had not been. But why, my dear brother, I said, because I asked the Lord to convert him, and I kept on praying that he might be converted. And I should have been very much surprised if he had not been. It's my desire that we have that kind of prayer for those we know that are lost. I don't care if it's a brother or sister, a wife, a husband, a co-worker, a neighbor, whoever. Do we have that kind of desire, that kind of prayer, where we know that they're going to get saved because we prayed and God heard and answered our prayer? Don't stop praying till either they come to Christ or they die apart from Him. But don't quit praying. We need to have that kind of passion for people this year. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give in. I don't want to let go until people I'm praying for confess their faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'll say good riddance to a tough year. Good riddance. But here's to the promise of a new year. A new year where Jesus can and does make all things new. Are we ready for 2022? Are we ready for what God's going to do in 2022? Are we ready for the one who makes all things new? Looking forward to what God has for us in the coming year. He doesn't disappoint. And He tells us what we can have if we're willing. Are we willing? Answers to that question are for each individual. Are we willing? Let's pray.